We're good to go.
Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. 3, 2, 1. And we welcome you into Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson, as always, joined by the great Gary St. Jean. And Saint, I made this joke a couple of weeks ago. It seems like every time we do this, or at least 3 out of the 5 times we've done it, the Warriors are coming off a win. And today, it's the same case here. The Warriors with probably their most impressive victory of the season against the Grizzlies. The 19-point margin of victory certainly would say that.
Well, then we need to have another one on Friday, Monday, and Wednesday before Thanksgiving. If that be the case. Last night, John, was... you know, that's why you play the game. That's why you coach. You know, those guys, the effort, the connected feel they had on defense, that's 3 good defensive performances in a row. That creates optimism with everybody. And, of course, first half, Burks and Robinson really did a great job scoring the basketball. And second quarter was great, the way the team just got out on a break. They had 9 assists. And, it reminded me of the past. And then in the fourth quarter, when it got a little bit tight, Pascal, who had struggled for a good part of the game with foul trouble and not getting shots to go down, he rose up to the occasion. They even gave him some ISOs up at the elbow, and he responded.
Yeah, he continues to be a pretty good ISO player. And to your point on the ball movement and the defense, season highs in the game against the Grizzlies, 33 assists and 10 blocks. The Warriors also held Memphis under 41% shooting, which was a season low for an opponent that beat one of the other 2 wins out. The last time they held an opponent under 42, it was against the Pelicans back on October the 28th, and that was, again, one of the other 2 victories that the Warriors have at this point in the season. Pascal continues to be impressive in the isolation game. I mean, he's maybe a little bit quicker than you think, but certainly powerful, as powerful as he looks.
John, didn't you like what Draymond said earlier this week? He said he doesn't even know the NBA game yet. He's just doing this off of skill. He's just getting it done. You know, an old guy that I was close friends with that was my assistant up with Sacramento, Pete Carril from Princeton, great coach, and he was very simplistic. He said, read the man in front of you. He'll tell you what to do. And I love the poise and pace that he's playing at. He's not in a rush. If the defenders are off him, he'll rise up and shoot a 3. If they come flying at him, he may show them an up fake and drive. You like that he can finish left and right. He's got a mid-range game, as you're talking about with those ISOs. So, you can't teach experience. And as this keeps going on, he's laying the foundation. He's laying the bricks to really have a heck of a year as he gets more and more comfortable.
Yeah, and the thing that continues to impress me is what others on the team are saying about him. And you alluded to Draymond Green. Draymond Green, and Steve Kerr both saying within the last few days here that they want him to maybe be even more aggressive. Now, last night wasn't one of his better games, the game against Memphis, but he still winds up with 17 points, and he had 8 big ones down the stretch when the game started to maybe, get a little bit in doubt, although the Warriors pretty much controlled it for about 2.5, 3 quarters. But how do you get a guy like him to be more aggressive when initially it just doesn't seem like it's totally in his nature as a player?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, he never had 30-plus points in a game at Villanova. I think he had 1 at Fordham before he transferred. By nature, he's a humble, bright, quality guy. And you could translate that to the court as well. With him, I'm looking for him in one area, John. I really like what he's doing on defense. Now, last night he got frustrated. He got foul trouble, and that cut down his minutes. But regained the poise, as you said, and scored 8 in the final quarter. One area that I want to see some more is rebounding. You know, a good forward or a center gets a board every 3 minutes. He's very capable of doing that. He shows you glimpses of being a guy that could go and pursue the ball. Part of it is what you're saying about being more aggressive will be play calling by Steve and getting comfortable, whether it's on the box, whether it's on the elbow, or whether it's a isolation on a wing. That'll come with time. That's not something you just create overnight. And I think everybody's on the same page because let's not kid ourselves. We are needing him to score big to win games. I mean, he's the second leading scorer. We saw Morant play last night. He's a volume shooter, 20 shots to get 20 points. But, you know, this young guy, the future keeps getting brighter and brighter, and it's exciting to watch him.
Yeah, another guy that the Warriors have needed to score a lot of points of late, and he's delivered, and that's been Alec Burks, inserted into the starting lineup. Didn't have his best game in New Orleans once he was put into the starting lineup, but had scored big, a couple of 20-point games off the bench in the early going this season, and he goes for a season-high 29. It seems like the Warriors they're figuring out, because they don't have a lot of scorers on this team, that he's a pretty clever, talented offensive player, and his game goes well beyond maybe what you would think as an outsider watching him, maybe with Utah or the Kings briefly in his career. He's not really a catch and shoot guy, is he? He's more of a guy that can drive and pull up and shoot it off the dribble. He's a little more skilled maybe than he's been given credit for throughout his career.
Well, you know, John, as a rookie, he and Hood were together, the young guy up in Portland, in Utah. And he averaged 14 a game. And everybody said, wow, this heck of an athlete coming out of Colorado. Very bright future. We thought he could really defend. And, you know, Johnny, I love his confidence. He's a veteran. He didn't have a good night the game before last, but he bounced right back. And you can't have too many guys that can take it off the bounce to the rim. And he's uncanny getting there with his right hand. And he either gets to the free throw line where he makes shots or he finishes. I love his demeanor on the floor. He's not flustered, but he's aggressive. And keep in mind, we saw last night, I love the play call that Steve made. They posted up Morant. He had a turnaround jump shot.
Yeah.
And I'll go way, way back. It reminded me of Terry Cheekle back in the 90s when Mully and Mitch and Timmy were playing. And then, you know, we know he occasionally hits the three, and we talked about the free throws, but it's that consistency driving the ball. And, you know, he and Robinson in the second quarter, they just, they were great. And I love what Steve's done with the lineup, kind of going with the two-guard attack out front and then having Draymond running point forward. That's very similar to what the Lakers are doing with LeBron. And it's working. And then in the front, you've got Draymond and Willie Cauley-Stein playing a little bit better. We've already talked about Pascal. And last night, you had to like, Willie Cauley-Stein and Chris and the Villanova partner, I'll call him. And so you know what? A lot of production out of a lot of people.
Yeah, well, and it's really been threefold, I think, since D'Angelo Russell went out again with this hand injury, the thumb. The lineup changes. One, you get you improve your defense by having some bigger bodies out on the floor. It makes it a little easier to switch. You've got more similar type bodies out there. Two, you put Burks in there because he's a scorer, and you're going to need some scoring with Russell out, and he's shown that he can do that. Three, it takes a little bit of the heat off of Jordan Poole, who's been struggling to at least lessen his role to bring him off the bench. He's still got to play because they're so shorthanded, but I think there were three different things trying to make the best of not a great situation that have all worked with just one simple lineup change.
Very well said. And you know what? The defense is, everybody knows that has to be a constant. The effort is there, and now they're more cohesive. And as you noted, with Robinson and Burks out front, I like that. They'll get up and get after you. And, you know, it relieved Poole a little bit, a little change of scenery coming off the bench. Now, John, he didn't have a great night, But a couple of things stuck out to me. He did knock down a three, but he made three passes in the second quarter, two on a pick-and-roll situation with Chris. And then I liked one time he drove the ball hard to the rack. He missed, and I think Chris tipped it in. But, you know, when you're a player, you can't live and die by the jump shot. And step back only goes so far. You got to take it off the bounce because that'll get you potentially to a score or get you to the free throw line where you'll see the ball go in. You'll get a little bit of better feeling out there on the court. This is the trials and tribulations of a rookie, and I like now that he's in this role, and I like the way he tried to defend. And so I saw some positive things with him last night, even though it wasn't in the scoring column.
Yeah, it looked really for the first time like he was just, and maybe for the first time that's a little too strong, but it looked like he really wasn't letting the fact that the bad shooting was, you know, it wasn't preventing him from doing other things. He was very calm and you know, the way he drove and set up those passes, it was poised, which, you know, at times lately it seems like the fact that he hasn't been knocking down shots has affected his game in other areas a little bit.
Well, you know, John, that happens to young players. You say, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine. But you just see those shoulders come down a little bit. And you don't know it, but you're just kind of not locked in and kind of like the poor me syndrome. And you know what? That's a step in the right direction. And everybody that you talk to said, hey, this guy's going to score in the NBA. He can make shots. So, yeah, this happens, and I love the patience. And another Draymond statement. You know, you could see him the last game. He had his arm around him after a timeout. He's talking to him. And Draymond has told people this. He said, listen, this guy's working his tail off every day in practice. And he's next to him. His locker's right next to Poole's. And I just think that's a big positive.
John Dickinson, Gary St. Jean, it's Warriors Weekly, podcast for 95.7 The Game. I want to ask you about Marquese Chris. He's played better of late, a better defensive intensity, and, you know, the Warriors are in a really tough predicament with Kai Bowman and even Damian Lee, although Damian Lee's injury is going to set him back as far as his two-way days on his contract, so they're going to be safer with Lee. He'll have more days to go longer than Bowman. I mean, Bowman basically has to be a part of everything right now, and he's played well. You know, Marquese Chris isn't the only means to which they could add Kai Bowman for the remainder of the season, but he would be the easiest move to make in terms of having a non-guaranteed contract until the first week of January when contracts become guaranteed. I think 2 weeks ago, maybe this wouldn't be a conversation we're having, but the last week and a half, 2 weeks, Marquese Chris has played very well, and he's starting to maybe push to keep that roster spot a little bit. How much of a value, Saint, would there be in getting a full season look at Marquese Chris because he's so young? And look, the Warriors are going to be, you know, they're going to be looking for depth next year. A lot of these guys that are playing a lot of time right now are going to be auditioning essentially for depth pieces next year.
Yeah, you're right on. And Chris, that was a late signing just before training camp started because they had so many injuries. You know, Willie Cauley-Stein was down, missed the whole camp. And, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein's on a 1 year plus a player option. He likes it here. I read some things this morning about it. But I, you know, we can't forget that Chris is younger than Pascal. I mean, he's 22 and up there at Washington playing and his lottery pick. And you're saying, wow, this kid can fly around. He can jump. He can block a shot. And you know what? I think he's got a decent feel for the game. You see some passes that he makes. And you say, well, gotta show me a guy that can pass. He tells you he can play because you have an understanding of the game. So, you know, Pete Carril, I've said this to you before, John. He always said this. Pete Newell, you have to wait 3 years on a big man unless he's a top three or four pick because the transformation of playing in the NBA, NBA is such a difference for those guys. Now, we're talking about years past where there was a lot of low post play. Well, now these big guys have to be able to get out on the floor and defend pick and roll, and it's much more physical down there. You are exactly right about the defensive presence, and we need that. We were one of the top shot-blocking teams the last 5 years, and that hasn't been a strength. And you noted that we had 10 last night, and I think he had 4. You know what? This is a good problem. And Bowman came in and he gave you some great defense, and then he knocked down that corner three, when the run was being made. And, I just like his energy. You like a backup point guard to come into the game and change tempo, get us going, whether it's defense, get us out on the break, assisting out there. And I just like the way this guy plays. So, as you said before, these are opportunities for these guys to play and play at a high level and put the coaching staff and the front office in a predicament saying, what the heck are we going to do?
I mean, I don't want to be too soft and too optimistic, but every night now, because, look, the end result, it doesn't really matter. I mean, sure, the guys right. are trying to win. They're competing. But every night I look at a guy like Alec Burks and I think, boy, I like Alec Burks on next year's Warriors. I could see a spot maybe for Glenn Robinson. Now, sure, you can't keep everybody, but Marquise yeah. Chris is another one that's maybe not at the level of the first two guys I mentioned, but he's somebody you'd almost if you had him around and he was your 13th or 14th man, that's not a bad problem to have as somebody that could continue to develop and maybe work into a bigger role.
Well, John, with our salary structure, these veteran minimum players, oh boy, they're super important. And if you can get these guys to come in, we've always said we could use a couple more wing guys. They're both character guys. They both play defense. And, they're showing the ability to score out there. That's a big positive. And then, we've always lacked big. So this is good. And when the season started, you didn't know Steph was going down. So you're saying, hey, I add those pieces there, and, maybe I can make a run toward the bottom of the West. So and then you look at your team and you put it up on the board for next year, and you put Clay and Steph up there, and you say to yourself, we got a healthy Looney. And if we wind up not making the playoffs and we're in the lottery and we get some good fortune and we get a high pick there, there's a rotation player. And then what can you do with this trade exception for Andre Iguodala? So there's a lot of things that can go positive. It isn't like, you're going to – and I'll say this about these guys. These games we've lost, Boston, Minnesota, where we're down – we're up 5 with a couple minutes. Those are teams that have go-to guys to finish the games, and they get it done. We don't have guys that are in that have been in that position before, so it's new, uncharted water. And we've got to be patient and positive because I like these guys, and you're looking at guys that for the future. And as long as they keep playing hard like this and improving on defense, I enjoy watching them play.
I want to touch on some of the injured guys because the Warriors, believe it or not, did get some good news yesterday on the injury front. And then we'll bounce around to some of the league-wide headlines here before we wrap it up. As far as, Kevon Looney, it sounds like, he's going to Santa Cruz along with Alan Smilagic. They're going to work out down there. It sounds like Smilagic is more apt to maybe play some games down there. Looney, they haven't really decided, and he could be back with the team even this weekend and maybe playing as soon as Monday. That's a welcome sight, certainly. Just your thoughts on Looney fitting into this current group right now. And then I want to ask you about Smilagic to kind of follow up.
Well, John, Looney gives you some depth, and he's a seasoned veteran. He can walk into the 5 spot or go to 4, and you can bring Pascal off the bench or whatever Steve wants to do it. But the thing to keep in mind there, it's going to be a little bit of let's see how he feels after a couple of days going through practices. You know, neuropathy is a nerve issue, and you know, maybe it stems from the hip problems that he had. But anyway, it just doesn't go away. You know, they're just trying to get inflammation down, and it's going to be what he can handle. There's some anti-inflammatory medication they can give him. Matter of fact, I've got that from back surgery, and it's no fun. So I'm a loony guy. I just his ability to switch pick and roll is just really important when you're playing against a team that uses that a lot. And he knows who he is now. He's a vet who has a role on this team. You know, as far as Smiley, I'm hearing this, that he is a hardworking, tough, aggressive player who attacks all the time on offense. What I think has to happen with this guy, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's 19. He doesn't have the real feel for the game, you know, making the right decisions like we were talking about earlier with Pascal. And that only comes with time and experience. And so I'm excited to see him. And, you know, Steve talked about this yesterday in his pregame, I think, talking about the relationship between the team and Santa Cruz and then running the same system and being on the same page and being able to have guys put down there and practice and come right back up. You know, it's a new era. That wasn't like that in the old days. And I think that's a big positive for the NBA and a big positive for the Warriors.
Yeah, and Smiley Geach, not only is he only 19, but he's not 20 until August. So he'll play next year. He'll play the whole next season as a 20-year-old player. So he's really young at this point.
Well, they saw something in him, John, down there at Santa Cruz. And they said, hey, we're not going to let this get away. So, again, young, don't rush him. Get him healthy. And, you know, help him along the way. But everyone said he's got a terrific attitude, and I love that about young players.
Yeah, and I just, once they get him up to speed, I'm excited, given the state of this season, to really, I mean, it's just going to be an invaluable experience. I know that all of a sudden the Warriors have got a lot of bigs. You get Looney back and you get him in the mix at some point here down the line, but to really see how his skill set plays, even at the young age, it becomes one of the more intriguing aspects of this season here as they, you know, maybe head toward the midway point once he gets maybe some time in Santa Cruz under his belt.
Well, there isn't any doubt about that. And you know, when when a Livingston and Iguodala leave and now you got all these new pieces, you went from one of the older teams in the league to one of the younger teams, and that's a great example. You're looking to find a way to find a young talent and create a roster player. I mean, that's what everybody's searching for. Because everybody, I got people come up to me and say, why don't we just go out and get four or five new players? It's not that easy. And so with that said, you know, that's the process that takes place in the league. And, John, have you seen Smiley play?
Yeah, I saw him in the summer league in Sacramento before the guys went to Vegas. They played three games in Sacramento. In July, and then they went to Vegas, and I saw him play three games in Vegas, and he is fearless. I mean, he likes to get the ball out on the high post and just drive it, and you're thinking, where did that come from? But he's got a nice touch. You know, I like his game. I'm really excited to see, you know, how much of it can actually translate to the big bodies and the grown men of the NBA, but the fearless nature of his game was something that really stood out to me.
Well, it's great to hear. You know, you can never have too many hard-working, aggressive guys who can make a shot. That's a real terrific thing.
Couple of things here before we wrap up, just league-wide. I got to ask you about Carmelo Anthony with the Trailblazers. It hints a little bit of desperation to me. Portland got off to a decent start the first week and a half, and then just fell off the map. They blew a big lead against Philly. They lost to the Warriors at Chase. They ended up losing a game to Sacramento when Sacramento was down a bunch of guys, although the Kings have actually been playing better without their guys than they were with their guys, which is maybe another topic for down the line. But what do you think of Carmelo Anthony with the Portland Trailblazers, given where Portland's at up against it a little bit here early in the year?
Well, losing Collins, I think, just shot him in the foot. I just think it's a shame. I really like that young guy, and I think they had him at the four spot. He's got a really, really bright future. He's got a little nastiness to him. He can make a shot. He'll rebound. He's got a good feel. So I think he's a big piece in their nucleus going forward. And then you talk about Nurkic with his lower leg injury. He's a big guy. He's one of the heaviest guys in the league. He's like 280 or 85. So that's a lot of strain on the leg. And I don't know when the heck he's going to come back. Guys have come back from that, but they're more wings or points. And, you know, they brought in Pau Gasol, and he's got a foot problem. I don't know when the heck he's going to play. They brought in Whiteside, and, you know, he's been pretty good, but he's like the weather. He's up and down. We know that. And they've had a hole there at the three. Amino leaves and Harkless leaves.
They're playing Hood there, and that doesn't really work.
No. So I'm a huge Lillard and McCallum guy, and that young guy Simmons is good. But that's an awful lot to put on them every single night to get a win. So, John, we know this. Look what we're going through with the injuries. They've been hit hard. And if you put their roster together healthy, it's a good team.
Yeah, and I tell you, I've been watching them a lot. They just, for whatever reason, they fall in the pattern of, nights the Warriors aren't playing, maybe they're playing or they're on after a Warriors game. And I'm watching them, and I know Lillard – missed the game. They played in New Orleans and they got beat in Carmelo's first game. But I'm watching him every night, and Lillard's playing the whole first quarter. He's playing the whole third quarter. He's sitting for maybe 4 or 5 minutes in the second quarter, and Stotts is bringing him back with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter because they're in desperation of losing the game every single night if he doesn't, and it's almost like they're trying to have him save them, and it just early mid-November, it just seems like, I guess we're getting to the end of November now, but it just seems like that's too much too early, and they're not even winning to boot.
Yeah, to play a guy like that who loves to compete 38 minutes a night, that's a heavy load. And, he may be in the peak of his play. He's his body looks great. He's just doing it all. Nobody else in the league shoots it off the bounce like Steph, like Dame Lillard. You brought up Anthony. He was 2 for 2 on threes. I think that's what he is. He's a drift shooter now. From the floor, John, I think he was 2 for 12 from twos, and he was a minus 20. But yet Terry Stotts said, he did okay. They want to play him like 20 minutes. They basically need another guy that can put the ball in the basket. I still think he can do it. He is, he's going to be scrutinized upside down and sideways. I mean, that's just it is. I mean, this is a Hall of Fame player who's had a great career, who's been a lot of places. He's a big-time scorer, and, that's just goes with the territory. I'm going to give him some time. See how it goes. I think he's happy to be there. Terry Stotts is a great guy. People are rumoring, he's going to be in trouble. I'll tell you what, he's one of the better offensive coaches we have in the league, and he's a quality guy. I've known him for over 20, 25 years. So the coaching is not the issue up there.
No, I agree with you on that. And then the last one for you, James Harden's averaging 39 points a game right now, Saint. Could we see him average 40 a game?
Yeah, in today's game, yes. And the offense that they run and the number of touches that he gets, the guy gets the ball.
I'm blown away because it's working, Saint. I'm blown away. I didn't think that was going to work, and it's working.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to share this with you. I think it works much better in the regular season than it does in the playoffs. You know, I was questionable about Westbrook, but, you know, he seems to be compatible. You know, Capella, I just got to see more consistency. But when the Knights, he's playing pick and roll and finishing and getting you 15 or 20, he can get you 15 boards. You love Tucker's toughness. You know, Gordon's down for a while with a knee operation. But, you know, hey, and you know who's playing well for them, John, the last 10 days? Ben McLemore.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah. So, realistically, John, I guess if you and I had to wager today, I'd probably have them maybe third in the East. I don't know how many the Clippers are going to win just because of load management with Leonard. And, you know, the Lakers, I love what they're doing. Their defense has been terrific. I love their length. But I'm just, you know, I'm knocking on wood here. They don't sustain any big injuries because those two guys, you know, LeBron's getting older, but he is playing fabulous basketball. You know, and Davis last night, you know, he played great and blocking shots. A lot of people talking him up for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, LeBron is the perfect example of I was thinking about this when they were playing the Warriors about a week ago tonight as we record this on a Wednesday, and I'm thinking, my goodness, LeBron getting a couple of months off, and I think we talked about this last week. I mean,
yeah.
it made me think, wow, Steph and Clay and maybe Draymond at some point later on, just that not having the 2 months of the playoffs, let alone maybe another couple months during the season. I mean, Clay is going to have damn near a year and a half off by the time he really plays meaningful games again. I mean, he may get in a few at the end of this year to shake off the rust, but the, you know, just that little bit of you know, Steve Kerr called it a sabbatical. Boy, if LeBron's any indication, next year's Warriors are going to have a real shot to be pretty special again.
John, you know what? You're right on. And I remember James Worthy talking about the Lakers getting to the finals all the time. And, you know, it can be up to a full season added to your resume and plus the mental and physical fatigue of the playoffs. So to get these guys a little bit of rest is great. And, you know, that's why, you know, we just got to be optimistic about the future that, you know, the West is terrific, but we can jump right back in there and be one of the top teams. And fans have been great at the home games. The Chase is just an amazing place. And the feel about the Warriors is still there. I get excited every night that I get to go there.
Saint, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week. That's going to do it.
John, you made my Wednesday, and if you fly to Dallas, you could go down there and guard Doncic tonight.
Oh, boy, I want no part of that. My goodness. Boy, is he – boy, you talk about a 20-year-old that's unbelievable.
Woo!
I mean, wow.
Unreal.
This
guy's the real deal. You know, John, at 20 years old, it's crazy state. The game has slowed down for him. We talk about young players that their eyes are big and they're attacking. Watch this guy play and the poise he plays with. I am utterly amazed, and I can't wait to watch tonight's game.
Well, and you know what's interesting about him, too, is I look at them, and they've got Porzingis, and they have some nice players, but
yes.
I don't really love their team. And so it almost as if he has become in year two, and we got a long way to go, but it's almost like he's become in year two one of those, you know, transcendent players that's good enough to you know what, if he's on your team, you're going to win 43 games just, you know, with a bunch of guys around him. Like, or
well,
is he already in that
point? He's a classic example. Yeah, it's a classic example. Like, he's playing a lot of point forward. But it's like positionless basketball. And, you know, size isn't that big a factor anymore. And he, Rick Carlisle said this. And Rick was a guy, he's been around a long, long time. Gosh, I remember when he was with Chuck Daly. Liked a lot of play calls and had a good offensive mind. And he's basically said, hey, I'm giving him the keys. That's how much trust and faith I have in him. And Doncic loves it. And he's and the players love it, and they got a nice thing going there. As you said, I'm not in love with the rest of their roster. The Powell kid from Stanford's playing at a nice level. But beyond that, there's nobody that jumps out. Although Pop likes to talk about, what's his name, Maxi Kleber.
Yeah.
But I will say to you that they're maximizing who they are. I do think Porzingis will start to play better. I don't think he's I would give him a B- or a C+ for what he's done so far. So they're going to be knocking at the door. Teams like them, the Kings, for one of those 7 and 8 spots.
That's going to do it for us, Saint. Thanks very much, as always. I'll talk to you next week, and that'll do it for Warriors Weekly, Episode 5 here for 95.7 The Game. All right, thanks, Saint.